Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio. Every week, Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now, your host, Jason Miller.
My guest today is Joe Klimovich, the Deputy Assistant Attorney General and Chief Information Officer at the Justice Department. Joe, in many ways, this is a return engagement for you to my show. Other ways, this is new. Welcome back.
Thank you, Jason. Glad to be back.
So last time we spoke, you were at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA. Now you're here at the Justice Department. Pretty big change if you think about it. I mean, NOAA was focused on weather and climate, and Justice is focused on, well, law and enforcement and justice. So give me a sense, how big of a change has this been for you over the last, what's almost been a year now, I think?
The challenges and issues facing CIOs are basically the same across the federal government. The biggest learning curve is obviously about learning about the mission, the DOJ mission. I spent the first several weeks meeting with as many people as possible, obviously my own staff, but DOJ leadership at different levels, COs from the department's 40-plus components, and that took a long time to get to know all the different components. During these meetings, I learned about what each component did, and from an IT perspective, what they needed to do their job in the best way they could. I also met with a lot of end users, had some field trips to some of the sites to visit users using IT out in the field, and wanted to try to learn how IT could better enable them to meet their mission needs and improve productivity.
When you're going out, was there parts of the DOJ mission you understood, maybe FBI a little bit, maybe DEA, but were there other parts that you were just in the dark for the beginning, you know, first few weeks, first few months, because it's just something that you didn't experience day in and day out?
I didn't have any experience in any parts of DOJ, so the whole thing was new. Obviously, some bureaus are much larger, like the FBI and DEA, ATF, Bureau of Prisons. And then we've got a lot of very small components, and I'm honestly still learning about some of the very small components and what they do and how they interact with everyone. But it is a great place to work and a really exciting and compelling mission.
When you went around talking to the components and talking mission and technology leaders, talk a little bit about the changes that have come from that. I mean, a lot of times when you go have those first meetings, it's a get to know you, but then you also are seeing where can you work together, be more collaborative, be more coordinated. Talk a little bit about that and how that as well has led to IT governance.
The meetings I described earlier played a huge role in determining where I should focus my attention and my time and helping ultimately to set IT priorities for the department. And I'm just finishing up another round because I wanted to go every 6 months, go around visiting the sites in the components. But beyond these individual meetings, my office has been working to strengthen and optimize the department's CIO council. And really, it's about ensuring buy-in and participation on council priorities to ensure better collaboration and coordination. Now, beyond that, we recently established a Department Investment Review Council. And this council is to provide oversight, risk reduction, assistance to ensure the successful delivery of our IT programs and investments. And the council will monitor and review programs against their operational metrics and performance objectives. And I'll serve as the chair of this council, but membership will include the controller, HR, acquisition executives, and three component CIOs. I think it's very important to allowing, trying to get as many different perspectives on and viewpoints on these investments and ultimately helping to the program manager to be successful.
It's interesting you talk about almost an integrated council when you talk about HR and finance and then component CIOs. And then on the other hand, you also talked about the idea of getting the component CIOs together, because in many ways, justice faces what you faced at Commerce, but in a different way. At Commerce, you're a bureau level CIO, and your boss, Simone Zickman, had to kind of corral the cats, from that perspective. Now you're in Simone's old seat, so to speak, as justice, trying to corral the cats, if you will, at FBI, at DEA, at ATF, some very large agencies with large IT budgets. How's that happening? As you know from NOAA, that's not an easy thing to do.
I do, and I'm very thankful for that opportunity to serve for a number of years over there in NOAA. NOAA was a great place to work coming into justice because we had six or seven subordinate CIOs with their own IT and IT budgets, but we were also working up through Commerce. I'm very understanding, and I understand the what's being put on the component CIOs in terms of just the compliance things and then the pressures that they're leadership are putting on them to perform. So I really want to make this a collaborative, transparent effort, working with the components. And I think so far, so good. It's a work in progress, though.
Always a work in progress. I don't think any CIO would tell you it's done. When you have those meetings, are you having conversations around, and we'll probably get to this, enterprise services, or is it mainly how do we all make sure we're moving in the right direction? And that conversation about enterprise services, for instance, comes later. Like, where are you at with the maturity level, I guess, is the better question.
I think we've got a lot of shared services already in place. And a lot of our CIO council time is just around that, is how do we define and move forward on shared services. But there's also another piece of compliance and other things that are going on, just general business. And we want to make sure people are aware of latest cybersecurity initiatives and things that they need to do to enable their mission, protect their mission.
And then let's move to the Investment Review Council. That's a fascinating one because if you look at something like FITARA, the Federal IT Acquisition Reform Act, just as an example, one of the things that calls for is the CIO to work with the CFO and others, a CAO, around things like procurement decisions when it comes to IT. And without getting you to comment directly on FITARA, and in many ways, that seems like what you were doing or what has been developed is to bring the CXOs together to talk about the issues and come up with solutions.
Absolutely. You know, I think that a lot of the things that FITARA has articulated is they need to be handled through processes and bringing people together. And that's the only way to really solve some of these problems. Because if you look at why do investments go off course? It could be related to a budget issue. It could be a technology issue. It could be couldn't get the right staff or the right time. It could be an acquisition contracting issue. There's a lot of reasons why programs go off course, and you really want to look at it from a holistic perspective. And I think, again, this goes back to the collaborative nature I want to put in place here is trying to figure out how to help program managers early so that they don't feel like they have to hide issues. And you want them to bring the issues to you. You want to be able to help them.
And when they bring them to you, then you can bring them to your other CXOs and say to the finance person, hey, that we're supposed to have gotten X amount of dollars, we only got Y, and that's really putting this project at risk. Or the HR person say, we really need to hire a person with this skill level. Are those the types of conversations you're having yet, or are you still at a level where of more of a management level?
Right now, it's still more getting everything organized and so on. We've had one or two meetings, but it's right now we've got a schedule for the rest of the year in terms of programs that we'd like to see come in. We're lucky that most of our programs are on track and in good shape, but you still want to do a deeper dive in some areas. So that's kind of where we are with this right now, but that's the only way to really tackle it. And I've been doing IT for almost 32 years now in the government, and I've seeing programs go off course for just about any particular reason. So you want to make sure you've got a good group looking at it holistically.
It's interesting. For the first part of our conversation, we talked about the changes you've seen coming over to the Justice Department and kind of the move towards better IT governance. Let's talk a little bit about your specific role as CIO. CIOs are, for the most part, hopefully no longer the people worried about software development and ensuring the servers are on, but really are becoming more of a strategy focus. Are you there yet with Justice, or is that something in your second year that you'd hope to really get to? Because the learning curve and you really have to understand how the operations work to then become strategic.
Well, I think it's some of both right now. My main objective here is to provide leadership and oversight over the department's information and information technology programs and services. And we have a very technology and information intensive mission looking at all the different aspects. So really managing the spend, and that's about $2.5 billion a year on IT throughout the entire department. Delivering services, IT services to the senior leadership and senior management offices within the department, and enterprise services that go across the department. Protecting DOJ's information systems from data loss or unauthorized access. Really moving out and establishing a service broker concept where we engineer solutions, but we also look to establish new enterprise IT services. And then we've got a geospatial leadership in this office, a radio frequency spectrum leadership, and then a leadership in terms of interagency law enforcement information sharing. Relative to working on the mission side versus just the technology, I'd say probably in the law enforcement information sharing, participated in a lot of meetings in this area and been able to add some value. And then on the litigation side, you know, looking at how we can bring technology to the litigating support functions, because that's a very time-consuming and labor-intensive process right now.
All right, you're jumping in ahead of me. I want to talk about your priorities in a second. Before, we're going to take a quick break, but before we do that, let me just ask you, you talked about your budget, $2.5 billion. Talk a little bit about the makeup of your office, employees versus contractors.
See, with number of federal employees within my specific office, and it's not across the department, but it's about 250. And then a number of contractors, 750 in my office. And that $2.5 billion a year in IT, that's really spread across the entire department.
And from a ratio standpoint, you know, 250 feds is about 700. That's roughly 3.5 to 1. Is that the type of ratio you'd like, or would you like to see that ratio get bigger or smaller?
Feels about right at this point. I mean, I think it's gonna evolve some over time, but it feels about right.
All right. Well, if it feels right, then it probably is right. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk more about your priorities. My guest today is Joe Klimovich, the Justice Department's Chief Information Officer. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and you're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller. Today, my guest is Joe Klimovich, the Justice Department's Chief Information Officer. Now, Joe, before break, we talked about your transition to the Justice Department from NOAA. We talked about your role as the CIO. We talked about some IT governance issues. Let's just jump in. What are your priorities? What are you looking to get done over the next 6 or 9 months?
I've identified 6 priorities out of these meetings with component leadership and my own staff. I think the first strategic goal will be to provide the best possible customer service for the services we're providing, and also for the services that we are pushing as enterprise-wide services. They need to be the very best. And I think that we've made a lot of improvements in this area, but we still got a long ways to go in improving the quality of our services. Second area would be this whole enterprise brokering of services. I think that this is equal to, you know, the delivering, and that's, you know, how do we allow infrastructure and commodity IT services and other common services to be sourced from the best in-class providers? And that could be from my office, it could be from another DOJ component, it could be from another federal agency, or it could be from a private source. So really want to look at making sure we're working to make the best possible services available to our customers. Third priority would be to manage taxpayers' money wisely. And this may seem like a no-brainer, but you know, we've initiated a bottoms-up review to ensure our organization is operating efficiently and provide the required cost transparency to our customers. The next one would be cybersecurity. It's a top priority of the administration. I think it's a top priority of any CIO out there. But my office plays a critical role in cybersecurity for the department. And our strategic goal here is to protect the mission, make sure the mission is supported. And we continue to deploy new tools and technologies to protect the department against unauthorized disclosures and data breaches. The next one, the fifth goal, would be provide innovative solutions for information sharing and collaboration. With as many components as we have, and we do a lot of information sharing with state and local and tribal entities, this is really important. This goal does include state, local, and tribal. And the last goal is, and it's not last in priority, but it's that's what I want to talk about, is positioning the IT workforce, that we've got to make sure that our workforce is positioned and prepared for the future. They have the right skills and training, and we've got some things that we've got underway in that area, but we'll make sure we've got a workforce with the right skills for the future.
All right, a lot to go through there. Let me go back to customer service. When I talk to CIOs around government, one of the big things I hear time and again is customer service. And a lot of it goes back to how you're positioned in your office, which tags back to your last one, which is workforce, is do you set up these customer relationship managers? Do you set up these people who understand the business, work directly with the business folks to ensure that you are meeting their needs from an IT perspective? Is that something you're doing, kind of a little, maybe called a reorganization of your office in a sense?
We did do a minor tweaking of the organization, but really it's about bringing all operations together, services, delivery staffs together. And I think it is CRM, customer relationship management. Again, we've got some places where we do this really well and other areas where we don't do it at all. And what I'm trying to do is make sure that we're consistent, that we do it across all the different components. And so we treat everybody with the same care. The other thing is ITIL. You know, is that we want to have standard processes. An organization that's large, diverse, it needs to be process-driven with standard processes that are not only captured but baked into our technology solutions as well. So those would be the main things. The other thing is that we're 24/7. I want to make sure that we've got plans in place to support our customers 24/7. And with a smaller staff and a big mission, that can sometimes be challenging. So you got to figure out how to do it with the resources you have.
You brought up ITIL, the IT infrastructure library. Give me a sense, are you guys starting down that path of implementing ITIL? Have you already been implementing it and now you're in that final home stretch? Where are you with it?
There's places that are fairly well along, and there's other places that haven't even started and haven't even heard of ITIL. I would say we're probably overall just in the infancy, and we've got people that have been trained, but now how do we take the training into, you know, bring it into operations and really operationalize it? And I've done that in the past and other jobs. It's not an overnight kind of thing. It takes really years to get a whole organization on board with that and get it baked into the tools.
Is this something that you'll look for outside help from, potential contractor or potential contract? Or is it something that you have the skills internally? Because, as you said, some people are further along than others.
I think we'll probably look for some help, and I'm thinking one or two people that really are experts in terms of how do you define all processes across, you know, consistent processes across the board, and then, you know, get those into the systems.
All right, so maybe something to look out for from our vendor friends. The other thing you brought up, let me tag back to the last piece, was the workforce, because if you're going to go into the customer service world, if you're going to ask your folks to be more focused on the business side versus the technology side, it's potentially a different type of people you need. And then when you start talking brokerage services, shared services, which we will in a second, also that is a change to your workforce. So talk a little bit about the changes that you are either pursuing for the workforce or training, or how are you getting them to where you need them to be?
Obviously, we want to attract and retain the best possible talent at DOJ and ensure that workforce is positioned for the future. And one of the ways we're going about doing this is identifying opportunities for high-performing employees to enhance their skills. So training, rotations, moving them around, job sharing to get a different perspective on things. I'm also looking at creative ways to help us recruit the most qualified and competitive IT candidates. I'm committed to using whatever authorities are available, so whether it be Schedule A or direct hire for cyber pathways, intern programs, and the areas that I think are, from my perspective, most critical would be maybe three areas. One is program management / acquisition with some business skills. Obviously, cybersecurity continues to be a challenge because it's very competitive out there for the best talent. And then the last one is, I'd say, broad technical engineering talent that really is aligned with what OMB is pushing, is the digital services, the digital experts. You can never have enough digital experts and talent in this area, kind of understand how to take advantage of some of the evolving technologies. And so those are the three main areas that I'm really looking for skill sets.
Project management, program management, not surprised. Cyber, not surprised. Technical engineering skill set. All right, you're going to be competing with every other agency. But what I didn't hear in this, and maybe we'll get to it later, is the data person, the data scientist, the, I'll use the word chief data officer, though you may not be looking for one. You can tell me if you are. But what I'm finding is that a lot of agencies have that big data problem. Is that the fourth one that you would add to it, or is that being kind of included somewhere else?
I've included that in my technical engineering and digital experts. If we haven't already, we surely will be getting announcements out there for data scientists and data experts. We do have a lot of the same challenges that other agencies do in terms of big data. Our big data is a little different than where I came from and then the previous jobs, but it's still a big data challenge. And you really need people who really understand how best to go about tackling that problem.
So a lot of CIOs or a lot of agencies are hiring CDOs, chief data officers. Have you made a decision on that yet? Is that something that the Justice Department is looking at?
Not at this time. I mean, right now, I want anybody that understands data and data architectures, data standards, and really what's the best way to go about tackling some of these problems. I'm not as hung up on the titles at this point.
All right, well, something to look forward to, some job announcements maybe coming from the Justice Department. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll jump into some of your other priorities. My guest today is Joe Klimovich, the Department of Justice Chief Information Officer. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and you're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller. My guest today is Joe Klimovich, the Justice Department's Chief Information Officer. Now, Joe, before break, we're going through several of your priorities. I want to jump into some of your other ones. One of the things you mentioned at the time among your top six was something called brokered services, or maybe shared services, if you use that a different term. You said you're focusing on infrastructure and commodity IT. Talk a little bit more where you're heading in that direction, because, again, I'm hearing from a lot of CIOs who really do say that that is the future for them.
I think it is, and I've always been a big proponent of shared services. So from 2012 to May of 2014, I led the Federal Shared Services Initiative, and shared services is not new, but it's, I think, increasingly important in the federal landscape to reduce waste and improve performance. And so my shared services strategy here at DOJ is to be all-inclusive in our search for the best services out there. And I want our folks to learn from each other and make this model part of the culture. I believe shared services should be the de facto way that we deliver IT. And adopting this service broker model, makes it easier to implement these services. So under this model, I encourage component leaders to be, providers of shared services. My office doesn't need to deliver every service that's shared. If a component has a service that they want to extend across the department, I would encourage them to do so, and I have been. Service providers are not just DOJ entities. They can come from other federal agencies and from industry. And we've already made a good bit of progress in this area, but it's clearly a multi-year effort. At the end of FY14, we published version one of our services catalog. And this was all services that shared services that my office provides. And it was also a structure for future and existing shared services. By the end of FY15, we're on track to deliver an online catalog where customers can begin to order some services and track their status online. I think this is the direction that we should all be headed. And my vision is to create a catalog that has kind of a Amazon.com look and feel where, we can even take customer feedback. Customers can rate their services because certain services might cost a whole lot less, but then maybe they deliver a whole lot less too. So I think that's important to kind of close that customer loop in terms of feedback.
Talk a little bit about that shared services catalog that from your office. How many shared services are in there and what types? Are we talking about data center? Are we talking about cyber? Because Justice, for instance, was a big proponent of that cybersecurity shared services. If you remember back in the 2000s, the line of business, blast from the past, I'm sure for all of us, you guys were the ones that were out in front there. So just talk about what types of shared services you guys are offering.
We have dozens of different services in there. It's not everything that we do because some of the services are consumed only in-house. But we do have cybersecurity services in there. The DOJ cybersecurity program is centrally managed within the department, and we've got security operations services that are captured in there, as well as continuous monitoring and information assurance services. So I think it's a great start, and it's not limited to just classic IT. It does include the security services. But I think commodity and common IT services is where we really should focus, at least as a starting thing, that where people all need the same basic services. If you think about it as enterprise or infrastructure services at the base of this pyramid, but there's also enterprise-wide services that are right on top of this common infrastructure. And so we need to define a set of services that everybody can take advantage of and do it easily. I mean, that's one of the things I always think it hinders sharing of services. It's too complex, either in terms of the acquisition or the moving money, and then also finding out what's available. So you need to make sure that it's easy to find the services, easy to consume the services, and then people will get on board, I think, a lot better.
Yeah, I think part of the challenge that you see throughout government, and I think this is true not just at Justice, but anywhere, is if you make it too complex, they don't want to do it. They just think it's easier to do it themselves. Are you starting to see some of your component-level agencies, the bureaus, say, oh, well, we could offer this as a shared service? Have you gotten them to come around yet, or is that further down the road?
Well, we absolutely have, and I think some of them are seeing maybe the handwriting further down the path here that if they don't get their services in there, that they might be directed to consume somebody else's services. But look, it's not my intention. It's right now, I'm just trying to find out everything that's out there that all the good technical solutions that people could take advantage of. And that's really the only intention there. And I'm glad and optimistic that, you know, people are coming forward with services that they're providing within today, typically their components. But now we can make these solutions available, you know, across the department.
And I think that's part of the goal is, if, you know, let's pick on Rick Holgate for a second at ATF. We like Rick a lot. He's been a guest on our show before, so we'll pick on him. If he says, well, you know, I want email in the cloud, I know he already has one, but, you know, I imagine your goal is for someone like him to go look at this catalog and say, well, can I already piggyback on somebody else, or do I need my own contract? I mean, in the end, that's where the efficiency comes in, the effectiveness comes in.
Right. I mean, Rick is great. He's very corporate about everything. But if a service is already in place, already existed, already been defined, and contractually it's available, you know, then we want people to say, hey, look, it's going to be easier for me to go in to somebody else and get this service. And I'll focus on higher order problems that I can't just go buy a solution from somebody else, maybe more on the mission IT, business IT. And we want to try to make things that are that should be relatively simple, easily available.
One of the things that Justice Department, like all other agencies, have been pushed toward is data center consolidation. Is that something you guys are part of right now, thinking in terms of making this a shared service, where maybe you had 10 or 12 or 15 data centers and you want to get down to a handful? What's the status?
Back in 2010, long before I came over here, I think we had about 110 data centers. And we're down to somewhere in the low 50s, maybe 53 data centers today. The objective is by end of FY19 to get down to 3 data centers. And we briefed this plan to Congress, and we think we've got the details in place to really start moving out on that. The challenge you have, though, is that going from 110 to 53, we've already closed a lot of the easier ones. And every year it becomes harder and harder, because the data centers become bigger, more problematic, more integrated into different parts of the operations and mission and so on. So, but we've got, you know, kind of a quarter by quarter plan laid out how we're going to consolidate. And we've got the 3 data centers laid out, but there's obviously some enhancements that have to go on to those 3 so that we can, you know, make sure that we've got everything in place. And we don't want to just move to a co-location. We want to virtualize. We want to have a shared infrastructure in place. So all that takes time, effort, work, but we are making progress.
Joe, in many ways, the path you're going down sounds very similar to what the path that the Homeland Security Department went down when they reduced the 2 data centers. I know your goal is 3, but do you foresee basically those 3 data centers acting as a private government-only cloud where those enterprise services would come out of? So maybe it would be email, maybe it would be unified communications. Is that the long-term vision?
We would expect that these 3 data centers would have a uniform set of services, would act in concert, back each other up, and essentially act as a private cloud. But a critical part of our data center consolidation strategy is to establish a cloud presence so that we've got a number of low-impact FISMA systems that really, there's no reason for those systems not to move to a cloud environment. And we've got more square footage in our 53 data centers today than we can fit into our, you know, 3 core enterprise facilities. So we've got to figure out how to be more efficient with the space that we have and also look to see if we can move to the cloud. But ultimately, yes, and maybe it's even a hybrid kind of thing of we have a kind of a primary or gold copy in our data center, and we've got a backup in a commercial cloud data center.
Where are you guys with the cloud, generally speaking? Are you moving certain commodities to the cloud? Are you comfortable with the public cloud? And when we say public, I heard a great definition, and I've repeated this many times on my show, is it's not a public cloud. It's more of a commercial government-only cloud versus the cloud maybe you use or I use for our email, personal email type of cloud. Is that where you're heading?
We're currently taking advantage and certainly taking advantage of a lot of cloud solutions that are out there, evaluating options to move certain systems to the cloud where it helps DOJ gain efficiencies, while at the same time, you know, ensuring our end-to-end security of our sensitive information or more sensitive information. You know, we're working with cloud service providers, making sure that they're compliant with the FedRAMP process, and then building in the assurance that we need to properly mitigate our own risks. I would say within the department, though, it's all over the place in terms of You know, we'll use commercial solution software as a service. We'll be taking advantage of commercial data centers and cloud solutions, but it's in a very protected environment. So it really ranges the complete gambit of cloud solutions today.
You mentioned FedRAMP. I know the Justice Department is one of those handful of agencies that were looking at that high baseline for FedRAMP. Is that something that, while they just released the draft requirements, I know it's far off, is that something you are interested in?
We're interested in it. I'm not honestly not sure how much we could take advantage of it. A lot of our information is very sensitive, and when we get into the law enforcement information, it's very sensitive.
From a cloud perspective, the other piece of it is the public-facing sites, your public affairs site, for instance, maybe some of the information that is well-known. Is that being looked at for the public cloud as well? I mean, are you pushing stuff out there? Like, from a strategy perspective, do you have plans to, for instance, is your email already in the cloud? Is that the next step? Where are you going next?
Well, let's see. Let me hit the last one. We've got 9 different email systems right now. We're trying to develop a strategy right now that, we consolidate that. But we're still going through kind of system by system to evaluate what the end state architecture looks like. One of the biggest challenges right now is the cyber aspect of it. There are clearly things that we can take advantage of the commercial solutions, and we are today, but there's more we can do in this area. And it's just a question of how much time do we have to go through each one, but we've got to do that and we've got a plan laid out.
All right. I'm sure there'll be a lot of interest once you eventually decide how to go and consolidate those 9 email systems. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk more priorities. My guest today is Joe Klimovich, the Justice Department's Chief Information Officer. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and you're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm your host, Jason Miller, and my guest today is Joe Klimovich, the Justice Department's Chief Information Officer. Joe, before break, we're talking a lot about your priorities. We're getting into the cloud and where you guys are going next. 9 different email systems. I know once you make a decision there, you're going to get a lot of attention from your friends in the vendor community. But attached to the cloud and attached to a lot of the things we're talking about is mobility. And the Justice Department, I'll say this as nicely as possible, you guys don't have a great reputation when it comes to being on the near the front edge in the 21st century when it comes to mobility. I know BlackBerrys, when Justice got BlackBerrys, it was a big deal a number of years ago. I remember that story. How are you trying to balance that need, because everyone wants to be mobile, but you have a lot of security concerns that are real?
You're probably right on terms of the reputation, but from a headquarters perspective, our goal is to strike the right balance between securing the devices while empowering the individuals to get the most out of the device's capabilities. Most DOJ components are very focused on deploying smart phones, and I think the FBI has now transitioned completely off of BlackBerrys to the Android devices, so that's a big win. And so most of our components today are using these new smartphones from major vendors. From a shared services perspective, our biggest success here is we have a common mobile device management platform, and there's over 25,000 mobile devices that are using this common platform. Another area that we're really looking to focus in on, and a lot of other businesses already have done this, but is how do we integrate the mobile devices with desktops and tablets and create one seamless interface and experience for our employees. As all the devices continue to converge, our hope is that we can provide common virtual environment that whether you're at your desk, home, or traveling on the road, that you can get to any applications you need. And that's another area that we have been developing and pushing a lot of mobile apps. But because of the security nature, the nature of the work, we're probably not going to be out there like NASA on the cutting edge of mobile devices and mobile apps.
One thing you mentioned about the ubiquity of access, when I hear that, I think first of VDI, Virtual Desktop Interface. Is VDI part of the cloud, part of the mobility strategy at all? Have you begun to think about that yet?
Well, I think VDI could be a part of a lot of things at this point. I mean, one is, yes, it can be that, virtual desktop, any device, any place, any time. But it can also be a way to provide a greater security, and that's important. With all the attacks ongoing and managing the information the most securely.
One of the things about the mobility is the integration you talked about, and bringing not just the people together, but bringing the information together. And that leads us down the path of information sharing. And one of your priorities was innovation in that area, more collaboration. Talk a little bit about how that all fits together, because I can just imagine you need mobility, you need cloud, you need security, and you need the idea of bringing people together to meet all those goals.
Information sharing has to be a top priority. And we're committed to making system improvements to make our systems better to support our customers. One quick example on that is the FBI's Next Generation Identification System, or NGI. This achieved full operating capability in September, but this has been an incremental rollout since 2010, and they've already seen significant improvements in accuracy rates in their queries. Again, a result of new high-tech tools and algorithms to more effectively search through what is now more than 100 million records. There's still a lot of work to be done, and we want to leverage our existing infrastructure, solutions, and standards. A little bit more about what I'm thinking about here in this area is maybe three facets that will improve our, maybe form an information sharing model. One is interoperability. To facilitate interoperability, developing a trusted environment to support the sharing and safeguarding of information between partners. And I think there's a lot we can do in this area, including a reference architectures, exchange standards, standardizing information, sharing agreements, common security processes. A lot of these things exist, but it's how do you bring them all together? The next area would be identity management, really to working across federal, state, local, tribal entities to promoting, identity management practices and developing standards in this area, as well as the roles that you're occupying and performing to how that relates to data access. And the last one is just data management and looking at data management from a lifecycle perspective. Again, creating catalogs of data sets to, and sharing those appropriately, baking in the requirements for records management, e-discovery, accessibility, and privacy. And if we get this inventory of data sets out there that, people can then start using more effectively, and thinking of data from a lifecycle perspective, I think that it's easy to create these models, but to make them operational and realize the benefits, you're going to need to continue pushing it through a strong technical architecture and program reviews with components and a strong governance process.
I know that Justice Department has used and continues to use the NIEM, the National Information Exchange Model. That's a huge win both for the government in terms of the standard development and the community at large. Which ones are you looking at, and where do you see that going?
We have put a lot of effort into establishing NIEM, and I think it's paying off a lot of dividends, certainly in the law enforcement area in terms of exchange information. There's other activities out there right now. I would prefer just to identify a couple of key areas that and I think we've got some ideas in this area, and then to push those to not to try to do everything, not to try to solve all of information sharing problems or challenges that are out there, but it's to pick a couple of things that you can get some traction on. Again, there's a lot of opportunities in this area, but I think if we can just pick a couple and then really focusing on those, that's probably the best way to go.
All right, we are almost out of time. It's been a great conversation so far, but before I let you go, I know a lot of vendors listen to my show. You gave them a little bit of tidbits here and there. So talk a little bit about how you like vendors to work with your office. What's the status, for instance? I know you guys you had a goal of implementing a vendor management office. What's the status of that?
Well, we do have a vendor management office, and it's up and running. It's located within our service engineering staff. At this point, it's fairly small. It probably will stay that way for the time being. But they meet with industry leaders to determine the capabilities that industry has, and the value and how they might be able to help the department. Outside of interacting with vendors day to day, this office meets with other agencies on best practices. They also spend a lot of time working with the components to understand where we could best position enterprise licensing agreements. And that's something we can really provide value added there. And we're also looking to develop processes and procedures to standardize the service level performance reporting. So how are companies doing in terms of meeting their SLAs? I continue meeting with industry as much as my time will allow, really for two reasons. One is I want to hear about how our work is progressing from their perspective, and then stay as current as I can with, you know, maturing technologies or technologies that they think I should be aware of and maybe considering. Probably the best way to reach out to our vendor management office if industry so inclined is to send an email to ocio.vendormanagement@usdoj.gov. So it's ocio.vendormanagement@usdoj.gov. And you know, that'll go into a queue, and we'll certainly try to get back to you as soon as we can. So anyhow, that's I think it's a very important part of any CIO's job is to continue meeting with your industry partners.
All right, and we will definitely put a link to your vendor management office on federalnewsradio.com to make it easy for people to find. My guest today has been Joe Klimovich, the Deputy Assistant Attorney General and Chief Information Officer at the Justice Department. Joe, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, Ask the CIO, Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.